your host, Holly, and it's time for a little teaser talk. Happy Teaser Talk Tuesday, everyone. It's your host, Holly, and I'm here with the guys from Devil's Envy. What's up, guys?
What's up?
What's up?
So I know you guys are tuning in live from Vegas. It's good to see that the whole crew made it there and there's no left behind on the streets out there.
Yeah. You found out about that, huh?
Yeah, I see. I'm going there next week. So we're actually just missing each other. So hopefully you guys save some fun in Vegas for me when I get there.
We'll try. If Sean doesn't eat up all the fun first.
Please don't. Well, to kick things off, if you guys just want to make a quick introduction of who you are and what role you play in the band.
Sean, co-founder with Angel, play drums and write music.
My name is Angel. I write music and every now and again I try to sing.
I'm Mike. I play guitar and I scream a lot.
Brian, guitar.
And I'm Paulie Z. I'm going to take over drumming because Sean sucks. And I also growl. Sometimes I play bass.
That's awesome. Well, I listen to you guys and I will say that I'm a huge fan. So I just want to jump into your music and let's chat. Sound good?
Yeah. Right on.
Perfect. So your debut release, Look At Me Now, it spent nearly 8 weeks on indie radio charts. How did it feel seeing you guys have music getting that much traction and getting that airplay on independent US active rock stations?
It was kind of surreal because we didn't think that, you know, when we were sitting down at our computers, Sean and I, we had these songs written. It's like, okay, now who do we hit up? We were like hitting up any mom and pop record label we could think of, or like record stores and indie radio stations online. And a few of them were like, no, this is not what we're looking for. And then a couple of them wouldn't tell us anything and they would spin our music. And we'd go and we'd check it out. I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then we'd be like winning up all these like countdowns and votes. And I had no idea until I dug deep. And it was Radio X Rocks, I believe it was. And what was like 2 months later, they're like, oh, it spent 8 weeks on top 10. And we were just like, that was so weird because it was just such a like run of the mill song. Like, we're just going to sing about something angry. We put it out there and just like, boom. And so we're like, okay, let's see where this goes. Like, we start putting out more music and it was just, it was like, it didn't feel like we deserve it, you know, at a time where we're like, okay, this is cool. You know, like a little bit of attention was kind of awesome. And it was, I was mostly thankful for that because the guy that owned Radio X Rocks, and he would reach out and say, hey guys, you know, on a personal basis, like, hope you guys are well, you know, hope, you know, we'd see you guys in our city sometime soon. And that was like back in 2016.
Nice. That's awesome.
The abridged version of his rambling answer was, it was very cool and surprising, and we love it.
Well, it's definitely deserved because, as you guys know, radio doesn't lie. Like, they won't play stuff that people won't listen to, right? Because they're not trying to lose listeners. So kudos to you guys. And the cool thing that I've understood about your music is it really has evolved from the heavier metalcore sound that you guys had in your debut EP to more of a heavy metal and hard rock style in your recent releases. What has inspired that evolution, and how would you say that it's influenced your creative process?
Can you go into the kitchen and like get more food? The band started because Angel and I were in another band. It was more like a mainstream rock top 40 band. But Angel and I were always like metalheads growing up, and we were huge Avenged Sevenfold fans. So when we would sit and write music together, it would just come out like that. So when we started it, it was very, very influenced by like Bullet for My Valentine, Avenged Sevenfold. And then just years of, because it was an off and on project. There was 3 years where I was actually a flight attendant. He was tour managing. So we would just come together every once in a while, and years of, I guess I just want to say like influences changing kind of melded it into the music. And then the three dudes bring in their especially the shirtless one. they bring in their own vibe.
We're just nonchalant, just doing this interview on
Angel got older and he fell in love. He got a little soft and music got a little softer.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to bring that metal back as hard as I can.
That aggression. I love it.
Band car, right? Slaughter to Prevail mostly.
Yeah, Slaughter. We've been jamming that a lot too.
Yeah, you guys did an incredible cover of Billie Eilish's You Could See, oh my God, I can't think of right now. You Should See Me in a Crown caught the attention of many listeners. What brought you guys to make the decision to cover that particular song?
So Paulie, back here, this giant, handsome gentleman behind us, he's come up with like a few bass ideas, and then it turned out to be like, you know, like let's write something more of a soundscape instead of just straightforward rock your face. And then we wrote this song and then we couldn't get around, like, what should we write about? Like, you know, I was kind of stuck behind lyrics. And then I listened to Billie Eilish's song one day on the radio. And then I went back to our song and I was just humming her lyrics over the song. I was like, whoa, this fits. This is pretty sick. And so when I showed the guys, I tracked my vocals and I showed the guys, they're like, what is this? Like, why are you singing it like that? I'm like, well, first you got to go listen to Billie Eilish's version. And they were like, holy shit. Okay, this works. So it was just so random.
Did you guys not know that song before Angel recorded the vocals?
I don't even know.
I was young because
they're super out of touch.
Super out of touch.
Back to what I was saying, when we were in the studio writing that, we were wondering, is Brykai and myself, Angel, Sean, we were just toying around with the idea, and we were like, well, we don't know how it's going to fit into our inventory. So we just kind of like let the music go, and we just shelved it for a little while. And Angel is the one that came up with the idea to make it it's not really a Billie Eilish cover. We just took her lyrics.
Yeah, there pretty much. It's a reimagining of her awesome song.
It started out as like it started out as like we were trying to write like a John Wick themed track.
We called it John Wick for a long
time. Yeah.
We did.
And then he showed us the vocals when he put it. I was like, okay, well that works. So we have to do it that way. It just weirdly it worked together, and it's really fun song to play now live.
I bet. That's awesome. Well, you guys are from Orlando, right? Based out of Orlando?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So as an American rock band, what challenges have you guys faced in the music industry, and how have you overcome them to establish you guys with your unique sound and gain as much traction you guys already have?
It's been a struggle. Yeah, it's a very good question, although difficult. It's been a struggle. However, we kind of been learning to embrace those struggles and be thankful for them, because it just made us kind of reinvent ourselves and not just stick to a genre every season or every year. You know, every other year we might feel a little heavier than some. And, you know, there was a year where we felt a little softer. We were writing like power ballads that we haven't released yet. But that was mostly the approach to it, as far as like, okay, we're going to keep getting a lot of no's instead of yeses. Might as well just write what we want and what we like. And we just took it from there. And then it just flows well now. It's more about the camaraderie and how we mesh well together as musicians and as friends, and what we could develop from that. You know, just keeping it passionate, keeping it grounded, and still having our angry side, as Mikey so put. It's like, we still have that edge. You know, we came out with Lone Wolf, you know, and it kind of just woke us up again, to kind of wake us up from that Billie Eilish vibe we were going for with the John Wick style tracks. And we came out with Lone Wolf. It's like we revisit our heavier side. So we're not afraid to go back and forth or even dive into new things. So it's kind of keeps us fresh.
That's cool. It seems like you guys have a lot of fun doing it too. I just, from the interactions now and the also.
Oh, you have no idea. You need a behind the scenes day. Like you come out and check out our vibe at the studio. It's way crazier.
We're all busy and we work a lot. So when we get to get away and spend time together, it's fun. We cut up and kind of like let loose a bit.
You guys need to have like a mini series of like the antics that you guys do. I don't know if that would want to be published though. Yeah. For the public.
I don't know what the rating would be.
Yeah. Maybe behind a paywall.
We'll let Brykai direct it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's awesome. Well, one thing too I noticed about the band is your artistic imagery that you have for it. It's really, I feel like, a significant aspect of Devil's Envy. What's your approach when creating visual elements that complement your music and embrace the overall experience for your fans?
Drugs and alcohol.
Perfect.
Just like a mixture of it. Just like Angel copious.
Lets his brain just absorb substances and just imagine.
imagine. If you could just imagine.
Seriously, though, Angel has some new idea literally like every 10 minutes. And occasionally one of them is amazing and he just rolls with them. yeah. So
I think, he's a really good artist. Like I can barely draw a stick figure, but me and him are both like pretty big into video games and nice. Anime and stuff. So we'll base ideas just off of that. And he'll come out with like brand new artwork, like all the time. So we've gone through three different logos, and the new one that we have is my favorite, but
yeah.
He'll just sketch something down one day and bring it to me, and it just looks super professional. So
that's awesome. Well, two quick questions before you hand the mic back.
Choking me up. He is not this nice to me.
Well, I'm just curious. You said you play video games and watch anime. What's your favorite video game to play, and what's your favorite anime?
Favorite video game of all time is Metal Gear Solid 2.
Nice.
And then my favorite anime would probably be, I can't answer that.
There's too many of them.
I love Super Pac-Man.
I'm a big fighting game nerd. I love like Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter. But I don't think Paulie knows what anime is, though.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm more of like a Tony Hawk's pro skater type of gal. I just hit the buttons and do all the tricks.
Considered traditional anime, but I was a huge Gundam Wing fan when I was a kid.
That's a good one. Absolutely, yeah.
Devil May Cry has been like a big influence for this band, for me anyway, with imagery. You know, you think of the name like Devil's Envy, people automatically think like, oh, they're gonna have like devilish imagery, but that game, like a lot of their imagery had to do with angels, and I was fascinated by like the artwork of them and stuff, so I was like, you know, trying to draw that balance in between for that artistic approach.
Yeah, no, yes.
Video game. I'm going to go with best video game, God of War, and favorite anime, Beavis and Butthead or Metalocalypse.
That's awesome.
I'll go with favorite video game, Red Dead Redemption 2 was an amazing game. Anime, no clue. Could care less about it.
Metalocalypse also.
I mean,
yeah, I'll go with Metalocalypse. Go.
You can always say Pokemon. Pokemon's a good safe play, right?
Well, there are three out of five of us are Italian, so I'm going to go with Super Mario Brothers. And yeah, we got Luigi, Guido, and then Lombardo. Sorry, I shouldn't hit you in the shoulder with the microphone. I'm sorry. And anime, I have no clue what that is.
That's awesome.
Anime is what you watch after you've taken five pizzas to your bedroom alone with a whole bottle of bourbon.
My eyelids.
That sounds like a fun experience for sure. That's funny. So anyways, back to the band. Sorry to take us down that rabbit hole. Can you guys share a memorable experience that you've had from a live performance or maybe with fan interactions that has left a lasting impact on you guys as a band?
I'll let Paulie do this because his memory of his first show with us was.
Oh yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, so this was about I don't even know how long I've been part of this band, 6 years, 7 years, something like that. First show, they gave me 7 days to learn like six or seven songs, and they're like, "Hey, you know, you want to play this gig?" I was like, "Yeah, why not?" You know, I love your music, and I was a big fanboy of Devil's Envy. Angel gave me, he and I have been buddies for a lot longer than that. We have mutual friends. I play in different bands with a couple of these guys. Long and short of it, we're on stage. I don't know their stage presence very well. You know, I'm on stage for the first time. We're playing to a sold out show. And I like to roam around, just wander around the stage, occasionally get into it. Well, my wireless on my bass got hooked up with his wireless on his ears. And we both turned around and looked at each other at the same time. And I saw Satan. Devil's Envy? No. Freaking most horrific Satan eyes. He looked at me and I was just like, whoa.
The whole cable ripped out of my ear
and I couldn't hear anything else after that. And so that was just song two of the set. Yeah, we had four more to go.
We've had a lot of other crazy issues. There's not a time we play that there's not something that goes wrong, but it really goes awfully right.
It's true.
We were opening for Fame on Fire, that show. It was a wild show.
And then don't forget how the tracks go out quite a bit, you know.
They used to, because we had like an old iMac that he had like probably tons of illegal files on.
Speaking of which, the most memorable for me was like our tracks went out and I was so pissed because I was tour managing Nonpoint on this one tour, and it was already week four of the tour, and we finally hit Orlando and I'm like, guys, one of the bands dropped off the bill. Can we cover this show? We're coming into town like 3 weeks. So while they were rehearsing back home, I'm on tour, and by the time they get back, they bring the show laptop and it crashed, and we literally have like 3 minutes before our show start, and I'm like, fuck it. I close the computer and we're like, all right, Shawnee, count it off. We're playing this live. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, we're going, dude. We went on right before Nonpoint closed the show, and it was probably one of our best shows we've ever played. And everybody said, dude, like, you guys sounded phenomenal out of tracks. I'm like, oh shit. Well, we should do that more often. And we have
tracks are a lot less in the mix. We practice more than we don't without tracks in.
Yeah.
And our shows don't really have a lot of tracks in them at all.
So that was one for me. That was a big moment.
And by tracks, because apparently every musician and person that critiques music hates the word tracks now. We mean backing ambiance tracks, not recorded instruments playing. That's not what we mean by tracks.
Except he doesn't know the drums are in the mix and the front.
That's
the sound
awesome.
Guy has his real drums muted.
That's awesome. So like, obviously you guys have been around for quite some time, and even so to where like you have people join in that were already fans of the band before. And so that's awesome to hear, you know, outside of, you know, staying true as far as your sound, what other advice would you give to aspiring musicians who are looking to have that same similar experience for people? Just because we live in a life of fast, like instant gratification, and it's so easy to be caught up in like chasing the next thing. How do you guys stay true to yourselves?
I mean, what's the question? What advice would we give to
musicians looking up to
that are up and coming?
Yeah,
that are up and coming.
Man, I think this advice gets given all the time, so it's kind of cliche, but you got to do it because you love it, not because you want to go somewhere with it. Like at this point, a lot of us have other things that we focus on in life also, but this keeps going because I don't know what we would do if we didn't make music. So you just keep going because you love it, regardless of what happens to your tunes. You know what I mean? You just put them out there, you know.
Yeah, now I would say try to write music, obviously, that you love personally, but also that it has some sort of a timeless element to it, because a lot of bands that come out, they get kind of pigeonholed into certain like genres that are very time specific, you know, whether it's like new metal, whether it's like this or that. I mean, there's carbon copies of infinite numbers of bands out there that sound exactly the same. So I think there's something to be said for writing music that A, you love, obviously, right? And B, that's somewhat, try to make it somewhat timeless. You don't want to be stuck in like, oh, we're a metalcore band from 2000, or we're like a new metal band from 95. You know, that doesn't age well all the time. So try to write something that's timeless, that's meaningful to you personally. And I think in the long run, you'll probably be more fulfilled as a musician as a result of that.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Turn off all the band you're listening to and just close your eyes and see what comes out, you know, from your own inspiration versus, you know, all the stuff you love listening to. Something original.
That is some solid advice. For sure. So as we said earlier, you guys are in Vegas because you have a show tomorrow, which is September 29th. And other than that, obviously that show tomorrow, what can fans expect from Devil's Envy in terms of new music, upcoming shows, maybe some collaborations that are on the horizon?
New music definitely coming. However, there's always like gaps and steps and processes you have to make, like when releasing one song. And it's as much as it sucks to acknowledge that you want that to have a type of you know, step-by-step process, and you know how you build the song, the song is finished, and now you need your visuals to accompany it. So we have been cooking up a lot of stuff last year and this year especially. We're writing another record, which we haven't released the last record we've written yet, so it's just been bird seed after bird seed, you know, with one single at a time, with as much emphasis and push that we can give it. So hopefully by the end of this year, we'll have one out. And then next year, we'll have a slew of songs coming out throughout, you know, every other month or so.
Very cool. What's the best way for fans and listeners tuning in to follow you guys and watch you kind of drop that new music?
So you could definitely follow us up on Facebook or directly on our website, devilsenvymusic.com. And there you can find all our other social media pages. Or if you head on to Instagram, where we are most active, we have the most reach and following there, which is at Devil's Envy. Just search us on Instagram. And search us up on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal. You can find any of our tunes there.
Awesome.
Send Angel a message. Ask him a weird question. He loves answering weird questions.
I do. I just went through our message requests on Instagram, and holy shit.
Wasn't someone asking you for medical advice?
Somebody was asking for medical advice.
I was going to say, what's the craziest?
I was like, oh,
you
boy.
Know, Angel's a smart guy. You don't realize what you can tap into until you, unless you ask.
We call him Dr. Angel.
Yeah.
Dr. Bendova.
What would you say is the craziest message request you've received so far?
What was it?
Dude, it was something way off the wall. That
yeah, probably don't say it.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah,
not fit for radio. I get it. Well, guys, thank you guys so much for hanging out. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day. I know you guys have a busy time right now in Vegas. Good luck. You guys stay one piece. And I hope you guys crush it tomorrow at the show. I appreciate you guys being on.
Awesome. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Teaser Talk. Head over to teasertalk.com to subscribe so you don't miss out on another episode. Until next week, keep rocking.